Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Late Nights with the Midnight Bomber with Neutron Bomb and Captain B2. Now, today's a special day. It's celebrating our first year anniversary of running Late Nights with the Midnight Bomber. And we've got a few callers that have turned up tonight, so I'll just bring them on. So firstly, Captain, how are you doing tonight?
I'm splendid. Thank you for asking and happy anniversary.
Thank you. So we've got a few people on hold. I'll bring them on now.
So firstly... an open bar tonight.
So firstly, we've got Pam. How are you doing tonight, Pam?
Oh, I'm doing great. Happy show anniversary. Time sure flies when you're having fun.
Does indeed. I remember thinking, crap, what have I done? When I was 3 weeks in, because it was quite new. Now it just feels
right?
Like
I totally get
normal.
That.
And we've got Versus as well, Versus Goliath. How are you doing, Versus?
Wonderful night to have a wonderful night.
Awesome. Now, we've got a couple of other callers I haven't had a chance to bring on, so I'll bring them on now as well. When the studio does its thing. Area code 419, who am I speaking with?
This is Kel.
Hey, Kel. How you doing?
Hi, Bob. Hi, Neutron. Hello again, Pam.
And then we've also got area code 703, which I think might be Tom.
Oh, you guessed perfectly. Must be reading my mind.
Ah, yes. I've got 2703, so I figured I've got the first one sorted. Has to be the other 703.
Yeah,
well, welcome, everyone. Welcome, everyone, to the show. I won't do the preamble because we've spent a bit of time introducing everyone. So how about I get some poetry up? So I'll start off with, bear with me for a moment. I'll jump back to the right page. Man, I tell you what, when everyone calls all of a sudden, it throws you off a bit, actually. We're used to it just being the three amigas or maybe Tom or Kel calling up. Yeah, so I'll put Versus up first, actually, because it's the first one that's in my clipboard. So.
Well, that's a good reason.
So Versus, when you're ready.
Oh, it should have a SoundCloud.
I'll get somebody else up to see if Phil can help me out with that one.
Oh, I can read it. It's cool.
Yeah? Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Awesome.
Just for you.
We get Versus live.
Oh, my God. All right. This is Stoic Egress by Versus Goliath. Brine slaps against cabin's windows. The crew below deck, longing songs. Tempest, tumultuous drumming crash, rock. Lantern lit man, sea haggard, dances along, swaying side to side, sliding slowly. As daylight breaks, he is the first dressed. Assessing the crew, their endless grumbles, an understanding laugh before orders given. Listen up, ye oceanic crew. Stay ye humble. Loose sails and pray for wind's blessing. Divine favor. An eastward gust blows. Wayward sailors may yet find belonging. Woman, tamer, with beauty and flowy locks, find deep resonation together, mallet to gong. Vibrations in rhyming like poetry and prose. Wavy adventure, hull pounds ocean crest, starboard impacts, send unawares tumbling. Man stations if you wish to live, if you wish to stay among the living. Wet workers resist frequent salt water pummels, forced at every moment to be their very best. Land ho! Craggy black stone cliff. Foggy morning, soggy whispers, laughter. Log floats in water, ogling crew view rafters. Glad I'm not Lad, grab rope for us. Aye, aye, cap'n. Wrap twine knotted. Cap'n overboard! Tap'n waters fought. Grab onto fragile gourd. Snap, rope goes taut. Claps, back on board. Cap'n breathing, she not. Gasping man, praise the Lord. Bang chest, a kiss, You're wasting your time, Captain. Whole fiasco is ludicrous. We're not a mile from landing and you're kissing dead fish. Pause for contemplation. So it is. Pray you are not also a fish. Then a sliver of motion. Not entirely useless, it seems. Safe harbor. Anchored ship looks like an ant mound. Unchoreographed synchronization. Acquired resources passed around. She stirred. Eyelids flickered. Fragile silence. She assesses situation. I'm not going to murder you if that's what you're worried about. Shoulders tense. Slowly crown lifted. She spoke softly, hoarse, deeply hurt. Who are you? Where's my family? Both sound questions, but the walls have ears. I may have saved you, but that doesn't mean I trust you. A moment of absorption, her hair reflecting sunlight. Questions glazed her eyes. Realization sad, but bright. I'm the only one. Crinkled words. A simple head nod in response. She forces a harsh swallow. You save me then? Again, slight up-down motion. Two wry smiles. Well, thank you. I don't know what to call you. Minuscule bob of neck once more. Whose lips sink ships, darling. You can refer to me as Captain. Thank you, oh Captain, my Captain. Calloused hands move black strand for mine. Amber hazel skylights to landscapes not yet seen to him. A brilliant starlit core. Glad you're alive. I'll be going now. I'll depart in a few days. Welcome along if you wish. Rebellious stare. How will I find you? I don't even know your name. Calm grin. You'll figure it out. End poem.
Thank you, Verses, for the read. And I got Phil's message a fraction too late. It was the SoundCloud was there, so you did very well. I just have to say this was a brilliant story. I actually liked the way you worked the dialogue into it, and a little tongue-in-cheek humor as well, especially at the end there with the rebellious stare, how will I find you? I don't even know your name. Calm grin. You'll figure it out. I always find you manage to work in at least a little humor into most of your lines. And it was great to hear you read it live. And let's get you some comments. So, Captain, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I enjoyed this thoroughly. I really enjoyed your writing. The storytelling was wonderful. Flows beautifully. I mean, I was smelling salt air. It was enjoyable. It was a lot of fun with being on a trip. The rescue was a nice surprise, and the way you handled it so subtly, it was almost like a scene from a film noir from the 40s. Very very underplayed, very low key, very sultry and mysterious. Nicely done. If I got to the end, I went, oh my God, you mean I have to sort this out on my own? I really, really enjoyed it though. It was very lively. I liked the characters. Nicely done. Great storytelling.
Thank you, Captain. And I think we've got Felon on the line as well, so I'll just bring her on.
Oh my gosh! I don't think I said
that. You, Felon?
Happy anniversary,
yay, Felon! Thank you. Thanks for making it. I think this has been literally the most callers we've had like all year.
Ever.
This is awesome.
I don't think I set up enough chairs for everyone.
Well, I'm here.
Oh, that's awesome, and we'll
great.
Get a few more comments for Verses, and then we'll move on to the next poem. So, Tom, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I like the tale, the way you set it up. I like that quick little referral of Captain, oh my Captain. I love little references and with inside poems to other works. It just added to the whole story and how delightfully told it was. And the ending just leaves you sort of going, oh, what comes next? You know, this feels like more of an introduction to a story that's set up at the beginning than anything else. Very well done, Versus.
And the last comment for this poem will be from Pam.
Well, I tell you, I do enjoy a wonderful, epic seafaring adventure. And I like how you put the dialogue in here. I like the way your imagery just flows. There's a sense of adventure, a sense of romance. I really like the part about the safe coming into the safe harbor. Calistan moves black strand from eyes, amber hazel skylights of landscapes not yet seen to him, a brilliant starlit core. Just wonderful imagery there, Versus, and very well done all the way through.
And we'll move on to the next poem. Versus might still be on mute. Kel, if you would like to read your poem, it's on the forum.
I would be happy to. This is Memories of Country Fields. Favorite memories of childhood, summer sun burns down, lingering on the wheel well, Grandpa's old orange tractor, his denim-clad knees beside me, riding high through the fields, wheat and corn grow. Times with cousins and sister, cracking walnuts for Grandma, shucking corn for the pigs, climbing in the hayloft, looking down at the farm, pigs in the pens, cows in the pasture, chickens cluck in the yard, watching Grandpa cutting wood, load his old wagon with logs, ride on tractor back home, his coveralls smell of oil and soil. I didn't care for wood air mixed in. Gates closed, bang and clang, lock, keeping the cows wandering out. One morning, Grandpa came in. Come with me, little lady. I need you. Gate left open, two cows loose, running around the cornfield, chasing the heifer's brown hide, whooping, yelling, top of our lungs. Return the cows to fields of clover. Grandpa's been gone over 30 years, but the memories of days in the fields will always remain the best time ever. End poem.
Thank you, Kel. That was a lovely read. And Felon, what were your thoughts?
This has brought me home. This is absolutely lovely. It's a great way to give a props to your grandpa. I too was raised up in the country, and at an early age. And of course, as I got older, I went to the city. I can't handle all the pigs and stuff. But this just really struck me because my grandpa never called me anything but girl. I didn't even know if he knew my name. I said, Mama, does he even know my name? She said, well, Lord, yes, honey, he just calls you girl. But he never called nobody else girl. So, I mean, him call you little lady, that just really opened up a piece of my heart. So this is just absolutely great storytelling and a great tribute to your grandpa. Excellent job, lady.
Thank you, Sal.
You're welcome.
And Versus, what were your thoughts?
Like Phelan said, it's great storytelling, and I really like how it accentuates certain moments, like the cracking walnuts for Grandma, shucking corn for the pigs, and then that whole stanza of watching Grandpa cutting wood, and then his overalls smelling of the oil and soil, but not caring for the wood air mixed in. It's all very well done, and then you have that sound also, so it's got so many different senses that it touches on with these memories, and it just brings you into it, like it enraptures you and the memory itself, and really quite beautiful. It brings you out to the countryside. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Versus.
Yeah, Kel, I picked up on the reverence quite early with this, and there's a strong sense of nostalgia. I really enjoyed the gentle nature of this poem and your fond memories of Grandpa. And I was drawn to the same section that Versus was due to it's full of sensory notes and hints with that his coverall smell of oil and soil. I didn't care for wood air mixed in. It was very enjoyable.
Thank you.
And we'll get you one more comment from Captain.
Oh, I enjoyed this thoroughly. I think it's a lovely homage and tribute to your grandpa. Delightful storytelling, interlaced with scents of grandpa, sounds of the country, combined with the loving memories. Very, very reverent. You can tell this was a very special time in your life. And every time you think about it, the warm feelings and the enjoyable times come back to you. So you're very lucky to have such lovely memories. Wonderful piece.
Thank you. This was entered into one of Kevin's book projects. So I'm really proud of this one.
That's excellent, Kelly.
As you should be.
They're very hard to get into those book projects as well, I think. Very well done. And look, I hope I'm not stepping on anyone's toes, but I don't know how long you're going to be with us, so I'm going to get you up next.
Okay.
So when you're ready.
All right, this is called, I wrote this just a few minutes ago for you ladies. It's called Bomb, Bomb, Bomb. Nuclear props explode within ink, the kind of shit that made you really think. Power poured off pages from this special one, so raw as words or weapons, embellishing why she calls herself Neutron. Exploding character from the fact she is unique, adding her views and always offering wisdom within her critique. Though she is not one to be all alone, bombing the night is Bobby in her military tone. Hosting with grace and intellect insight, her presence is more than just your average spice. Today marks 1 year the show has given poetry a lending ear, sending love from the depths of me. Happy anniversary. A felon cheers. End poem.
That's awesome, felon. Thank you so much.
My goodness. Yes, thank you. That was delightful. I appreciate that. Very thoughtful of you to do that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I heard you haven't been too well, Felon, so it's really lovely to have you here tonight. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm battling COVID again for the second time.
Yeah, I thought I wasn't sure. I saw something online and I was like, fuck, you've managed to make it tonight. That's awesome. So
I couldn't miss it.
I think I'm very happy with the homage.
Yes.
And
that was a delightful surprise.
It was.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And yeah. So if you can't stay the whole night, that's cool. Just see how you go.
I'm gonna stay as long as I can.
All right, Dale. And Tom, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was delightful. It is a really nice homage, and I like the way she played with the names and played with the presence that each of you bring. It's full of sort of a great deal, love that it almost sings in the way it comes off the page. Very well done, Kelly.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you so much.
And next, Pam, if you're available for comment, that would be great.
Oh, absolutely.
I think Pam dropped. So usually she's pretty quick at calling back, so I will give her a few seconds.
I was nodding a lot to the silences. They're beautiful.
Here she is. All right. We'll just bring it back on. Pam, are you back?
Yes, I am. My phone just decides sometimes that it has had enough. This is a spot on tribute. You're so good at whipping up these quick writes, but you're spot on with describing Neutron, exploding character from the fact she is unique, adding views and always offering wisdom within her critique. You can just, feel the love and the friendship within this, and it's wonderfully written and very well done, Dylan.
Thank you, Pam, and I miss you.
Thank you. Miss you, too. It's good to hear you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And we'll jump on to the next one. We've got so many rights tonight. I think we've almost got enough rights with some carryovers to do a double episode, so we'll see how we go tonight. So, Tom, you're up next.
Okay. Thank you. I can still hear her above the cry of gulls. I would speak of mermaids, seaweed gardens, all the wonders of tidal pools, silky dreaming on rocks, the wonders of colors transformed by aquamarine sunlight when coral blossoms on a seabed, while attended by all the scales and tints a fish's sinuous body can scintillate with light. It is the sound of waves caught in the hands, splashing against rocks and disappearing into the beaches where sand crabs and other wonders of a young child's joy played in the backwash of mystic mist, a seagull's cry of mourning. Here is where I hold her. Here is where we dance with memories, the sound of surf, the crescendo of waves rushing forward, the symphony of watery dreams. In the silence of twilight, as the moon rises from the sea, I can hear my tears falling. The poetry of loss slips back to the current. We sang arias once, shared notes on awe, tiptoed behind one another and erased errata, until one day the goddess called and she slipped away with the pull of the tide. Written back in 2019 and dedicated to Karen.
Imagery, and it was a five piece, and especially when you read the author note, where you were friends for years, and she was one of the first people you came to know on the site. And I think realistically, this is this kind of homage is what one can only hope for on passing, and it's very touching to hear that that you've written this for her. And not the first one I see. The first one was talking about mountains, and this time you've woven it into a nature right with water. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. This is a really lush, picturesque rite with obvious, unabashed affection. I mean, the rich visual imagery in this is rife with sounds and scents, and they're all combined, the nature combines with the loving spirit that you're paying tribute to. This is a very tender piece, and I think it's very beautifully and elegantly written.
Well, thank you,
Captain. That was a great comment. Sorry, I forgot you're on the line, Tom. Oh, man, I am, like, losing my head today. I apologize in advance.
Are you on fire again?
I think I'm a nuclear bomb tonight, maybe. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. Just putting it out there. And Kel, what were your thoughts? Kel, are you potentially on mute?
Yes, I am, intentionally. My cats were ripping the breakfast outside. I thought it was a beautiful tribute to a friend, and we can all hope to be honored in such a manner. Absolutely beautiful, Tom.
Oh, thank you.
And I'll get the next poem up. If there was time, I'd have everyone comment on every poem. So I think we'll probably get through maybe five. So I'll bring up the next one, which is Poetic Picasso, and there is a SoundCloud, so I'll just get that happening.
Mi amor, the soul tree wax candles burn gradually like a dripping hue of hot seduction over the central mounds of a crevice drawn from the eroticism of the flame. The sound of lyrical moans resound in the darkness of a sculptured nudity as the wax melts into the soft skin, exuding the aroma lost in the pores. An intoxicating fragrance of oil released into the air particles in the sweet lavender substance, enrapturing the erogenous delights. The flickering, unsteady flame dances in the exotic moisture, tickling edges of a steamy lover whose body is a shrine of beauty. Oh, the candles are lit a passion with its strong incantation, arousing the flesh of the seductor in the sensation of ecstasy. Su cuerpo es la llama, y su cera es mi beso, llenando su piel suave con mis excitados labios. Her body is the flame, and her wax is my kiss, feeling her smooth skin with my excited lips. Mi amor, mi calor. Ole, ole. In the poem,
wowee, that was smoking, very steamy. My favorite part, the flickering, unsteady flame dances in the exotic moisture, tickling edges of a steamy lover whose body is a shrine of beauty.
as always, frank, steamy, seductive, and very well written. And I think that Frank has depicted a very erotic, tantalizing scenario while still maintaining his nuance, which he does with his erotic rites. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
Well, I tell you, this is the kind of rite that makes me want to shake my maracas. you know, he just is, does a wonderful job with the imagery, and as I always say, balancing out his reading voice and the background music. I really like an intoxicating fragrance of oil released into the air particle, because I feel that besides the imagery, bringing in the other senses like sight and, you know, not sight, but sound and smell, you know, I think adds to the ecstasy and the eroticism of the rite. And I also like the flickering unsteady flame dances and the exotic moisture. So a wonderful sensual rite all the way through, and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
Oh, goodness. let's see. I think this is so sensual and sultry. I think the candles would have melted even if they weren't lit. very rich in texture, a subtle eroticism. This is such a sumptuous rite that it reads and feels like a decadent glass of rich red wine, deliciously inked, exquisitely red, and come maravillosamente.
Thank you, Captain. And Tom, I can hear you giggling in the background. It's probably the wrong word for it, teetering.
He does a great job of deep, sensuous, delightfully romantic, very erotic poetry. But this time, what I loved best was the guttural olays, because I've heard it screamed at a bullfight or after somebody did a really great job, but that's the first time I've heard an olay that sounded like the muttering of a dirty old man gazing at something that he was dying to see most of his life. Olay. Hell yeah, that was great. That was just great.
Awesome comment there, Tom. And I might just get one more. Versus, what were your thoughts?
I really like how Frank always makes such an atmosphere. And as soon as I started to hear it, it really brought me back. And this is actually one of the first contests that I entered, so it really brought me back. And I think it's great that it's here on your anniversary night, Neutron. But the way that Frank brings in smell and sight and touch, and it's all so well crafted that you don't even think about the fact that he's doing it, except for the fact that we're commenting on it. Like, you just get lost in this flowing web that he creates, and it's always beautiful. I really like the Spanish, su cuerpo es la llama y su Sara es mi beso, llegando su pío sabe, con mis excadidos labios. But I can't even say it, because it's so, like, passionate, and how Frank says it, like, brings a great life and fervor to everything. So, very well done.
Great comment there, Versus. And I agree that Spanish was particularly steamy when Frank said it. I think Frank could talk about doing the washing in Spanish, and it would still sound hot, though, to be fair. next we've got a poem by OMG at CP. And, Captain, would you be able to give this one a read, please?
Well, you know, I live for that request. Okay. Okay, there it is. Okay, where's my cursor going? Oh, no. Tell me it hasn't. It locked up on me earlier today. I think it's just done it again. Oh, I was telling it, don't you dare do that tonight. And you know what? My computer just locked up. I'm going to have to reboot it. So please, you're going to have to ask somebody else to read it while I'm
trying
to repair the damn.
All right. Pam, would you be able to give this a read, if that's okay?
Absolutely. However, since my phone has already dropped me like about 5 times tonight, if I suddenly go silent in the middle of the read, just have somebody, the third person, pick up where I left off.
I'll take over if you disappear.
Tag team poetry.
There you go. This is Paint Me by OMG at TP, and it goes like this. Guide me into your eternity. Let your fingers be your pen and my body your canvas. Under a fluorescent moon and shining stars and the tree with the most dangling leaves, paint me in your own poetry and allow me to be fragile. When I shiver, wrap my skin in colorful words, cover my body with your ink and blot my dripping flesh dry. Spread your verbal calligraphy all down my thighs and across my stomach and up my arms, my wrists, my fingertips. Carefully fold your scripture and slip it down my throat. Embroider your lettering onto my lungs. Open my eyes and fill me until my soul screams and my veins explode. Baby, scar me for life, pouring me out and letting me drip. Haunt me inside and out. Darling, paint me until I'm beautiful. End poem.
Great read, Pam, and thank you, CP, for the poem. I thought this was a very powerful sensual rite and bordering on eroticism, but almost in a fatal attraction kind of way with the lines, carefully fold your scripture and slip it down my throat and embroider your lettering onto my lungs. The idea of every breath passing embroidered scar tissue is full on, but some lovers demand or submit to this consensually. Let's get you some comments. Bellen, what were your thoughts?
I really like this. This is, to me, almost a submissive and passive kind of way that he's coming across, but yet he's coming across so bold. Or she, whoever that is, what really it says, when I shiver, wrap my skin with your colorful words, cover my body with your ink, then blot my dripping flesh dry. Wow. And then carefully fold you. Open my eyes and feel me until my soul screams and my veins explode. Baby, scar me for life. This is just very intense, very seductive, and very sensual. But at the same time, it reads poetry at its best. I enjoyed it a great deal.
And Tom, what were your thoughts?
This is delightful. He takes a symbolic stance and of treating her, the body like it is a blank page to be written upon and created with and appreciated. So I love things when I shiver, wrap my skin in colorful words, color me, cover my body with your ink, then blot my dripping flesh dry. The eroticism and sensuality just is stunning because he's using the printed word, the written word, and the way we talk about the person we love, to create this thing that just vibrates with the intensity of feeling and an emotion. I mean, open my eyes and fill me until my soul screams and my veins explode. Baby, scar me for life. This is just rich and done in a way that is delightfully new and vibrant. I really just enjoyed it immensely.
I think you have the right word there with vibrant. It definitely was that, and great comment. And Captain, you're back. What were your thoughts?
I am back. My the electrons are conspiring against me. No sooner did I get my computer booted up than the line dropped me. I don't know what I've done, but the tonight. It is a very beautifully sensual piece, very richly expressed. A really entrancing read. I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. And Pam, what would you think of?
I'm sorry, did you say my name?
Yes.
Okay. Wasn't quite sure. Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful and powerful sensual rite. Just amazing imagery all the way through, and I really liked how it kept building in intensity. Wonderful, just wonderful right all the way through, and very well done.
Excellent comment, Pam. And I will move on to the next one. I'll give this one a read. It's by Goran, and it's called Footsteps in the Ink. He is the penniless poet. Rhyme, seeking time to fight the fall with a 15-minute sustain. Seeking to empty the room, and floating forward, taking one last bow. In the mirror, a stumbling cute waterfall never saw. The poem falling with 1600 shadows. He saw the modulant breathing from the wall, abstract in the spelling with cubist punctuation. Had a major drop. I think we're going to have to bring some people back on. Captain, is that you? 703?
It is. It's
okay.
If this game has rules, I wish I knew what they were.
So, Pam, if I can get your thoughts to start off with.
Absolutely. Let's see here. Sorry about that. I'm kind of distracted by the metallic sound in the background that sounds like someone's sending out an SOS signal. This is just, you know, I really like Goran Ronnelly's writing. It's always very unique in its imagery, very creative. I like the reference, seeking a Pied Piper for the 15-minute of fame, reading to an empty room, talking to himself. He's answering as well. I like how it has a whole idea, 15 minutes of fame that, that we all long for, that some people long for. A comic book of poetry, scruffy in his future, careless in his voice, valiant in his verse, declaiming loudly, it's right, his right to write obscure and abstract pictures. I like how this person declares, that they have the freedom, the right to be themselves. There's such a sense of just whimsical madness within this. It almost has, to an extent, a Don Quixote type feel to it, as if here's a poet who's fighting the windmills. Yeah, I just think it's an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
I found this a very interesting read, very, very complex and very cerebral. I mean, with references like a Mondrian of words, which an homage, I believe, to Piet Mondrian and his a Dutch painter. Very complicated, very deep, layered piece. And it's an homage, I think, to someone who will not be confined to the conformities of art in any fashion, either writing or painting. And it sounds like a salute to the courage of the writer or the artist. Spellbinding, naked and erotic footsteps in the ink, a poet on his own, dancing on the page so his pen can speak to you and you alone. This is, forgive me, I can't remember the poet who said he's marching to the beat of a different drummer. And that takes a lot of courage. And I really appreciate the courage that he is written of in this piece.
Great comment, Captain. Yeah, look, I really enjoyed the way that Goran reframed this right, penniless but not without an inherent value to society, almost shining a light or observing and putting into words what others might not see. And I think it's important, the point that Goran was making, that chasing that 15 minutes of fame, it's not worth it, but maybe an enduring flame is. But like the moth, it wouldn't be the first artist to succumb to the flame in a deadly inferno. I thought it was a really clever write, and I'm hoping I am not the source of the interference. So we will certainly see in the next second when I put myself on mute. But Pam, if actually you've read just recently, so Captain, if you could read Damn It Dave's poem. That would be great.
For sure. And it looks like my cursor is behaving itself, which is refreshing. Okay. We have Man's Claim to Fame by Dammit Dave. We talk about the dangers in the world. We cast the blame. We argue and we fuss. But with our written histories unfurled, we see the greatest enemy is us. We treat ferociousness like it's a sport. We revel on our foolish savagery as sordid politicians hold the fort. We wallow in our own barbarity. We talk of peace, and yet we plan for war. We speak of change, but all remains the same. We treat the world like it's our candy store. We say we'll douse the fire, yet fan the flame. We blame the devil for malevolence, though our malicious ways show we're indifference belays benevolence. We wound our world, and then we add some salt. As we contaminate our land and air, we look for someone else to hold the blame. We pray, but know that we don't have a prayer. Destruction's, after all, our claim to fame. End poem.
Great read, Captain, and thank you, Dammit Dave, for the poem. I thought it was very well written, and it has a straightforward message that we as humans are the harbingers of destruction. I think in relation to at the very least, consumerism, the war machine, animal agriculture, the acts of God, even the pandemic, they're all in some way a result, a symptom of a larger issue. And we are inherently, I think, whilst there are good parts of society, we are greedy and treat our planet Earth or home with disrespect. It may not be intentional. Sometimes we should fan the flames, but not over the demise of our planet and global compatriots. It was very well written. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
I thought this was a very powerful, very direct write. It's a scathing indictment to the way that we as humanity treat our environment, and we forget this is our home, and it's not like we can take and go, oh, well, we've ruined this planet, let's go find another. And it's we blame the devil for malevolence, though our malicious ways show we're at fault. And this is a very direct bow shot on the way people are just treating our planet, our environment, our home as a as something that's expendable, and is involved in programmed obsolescence, like so many of the things we own.
Very true. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this had wonderful rhyme and flow, and I really like how it has that message of how, you know, we're all talk but no action, and we always want to blame everyone else, but, you know, we don't do our part. We don't, you know, take that first step, make that first choice to protect the earth, to protect the world, and to be loving towards each other. So just excellent write and very well done.
I will give the next poem a read, and this one's by Silk Black Rose, and it's called Daughter of the Desert Moon. Gaunt, her fingertips caress crimson sigils that glimmer across gilded leather pages as she strokes the onyx binding that imprisons the songs of the dead. Beautiful daughter of the desert moon, dancing with tigers in the evening, drunk on the music of reeds and spilling the wine of her veins to woo Nephthys. She bathes naked in pools of silver light, inhaling the shadow of Duat, lush lady of lascivious intent, dripping with narcotic nectars, slaying the heartbeats of Osiris. She bends death to her design and wraps herself in a shroud of twilight. Bells slip from her tongue to her lips, slithering across the sands, smooth as viper scales, striking down the flesh of her enemies and sowing fear into the heartstrings of her rivals, weaving darkness into a web of necromancy, invoking Hika in the name of the dead, spreading her mist across the dunes, hollow souls wailing beyond the veil, poised to spill from the depths, insatiable to devour the hearts of the living. Scarlet smile glimmers with malice, her seduction complete, eyes alight with vengeance. With just a word, her pets will swarm the world like locusts, and even the gods will taste of her revenge. End of poem. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
Oh my goodness, what wonderful tale. He has given the personality of the antagonist in this piece such depth and such detail. She bathes naked in pools of silver moonlight, lush lady of lascivious intent. We've got some great alliteration in there. It almost reminded me of the Edgar Rice Burroughs writings about Mars. People always remember his Tarzan books, but he also wrote about visiting Mars. And this is what this reminds me of, slaying the heartbeats of Osiris as she bends death to her design. This is quite the lady. I don't think I'd want to piss her off.
I actually was thinking the same thing. I just, in my pre-commenting, I said, this is not a woman to be reckoned with. I'm on the same page as you there, Captain. You know, smiting her enemies with a swarm of locusts, eliciting susurrations of necromantic delight. And then I just thought vivid imagery was woven into this story poem, and it riffs with
yes.
the picture prompts very well, as Richard would say. And what I enjoyed most was that Silk has depicted a somewhat submissive demeanor with the strength of an army, and the muse is ultimately in control. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I really like this. I remember the first time, he wrote it originally for a contest with artwork from who was it? Frank Frazetta. And what I really liked about this writer is it had that nice touch of dark sensuality, and the character was a strong woman, a very powerful woman. I like how he delved into the Egyptian mythology. Wonderful use of imagery. And what I particularly like is that he had a really nice attention to detail, you know, and that he grabbed your attention at the beginning of the write and kept it all the way through. So very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And next, we've got a few sound clouds. So I'm going to get Aphasiana's up first. Won't be a moment. And here we go.
Running amok. Perception shifts drastically. Changing experiences. The up feels too shiny to be authentic. Vibrancy of everyday objects. Astounding. Each sensation a revelation to behold. With wide-eyed wonder of a toddler or the mind bending high of a from my skin evaporates. Grayscale, heavy reality is a damp, weighted blanket. The beauty is sucked out of every detail, as if it was only illusion, imagined by mania. Rare are the days where I comprehend both polarities are veils I wear. Tinted glasses, rose and black, Midas, truth is mostly in the middle. The morning where I wake up, draped in darkness, it seems as though those smiling have been fooled. And I see the painful verity of existence as sugar turns to ash.
Wow, what an epic SoundCloud Aphasiana. As far as the poetic component of it, I thought it was a very apt description and dead set spot on from personal experience. That last line was so visceral. And I see the painful verity of existence as sugar turns to ash in my mouth. This part here next resonated with me most. The grayscale heavy reality is a damp weighted blanket. The beauty is sucked out of every detail as if it was only illusion imagined by mania. Such great imagery. And the weighted blanket was a touch of brilliance. It really does reflect that heaviness in the body and mind during a depressive episode. And the funny thing is, weighted blankets are also used to alleviate anxiety, or to, I believe at least, pseudoscience in the last few years have been recommending them. So there you go. Captain, what were your thoughts?
I cannot comment on the experience of this, but the poetic portion of it is just profoundly affecting. It takes you through the gamut of experiences sensed by the person who's experiencing depression. And I think this is probably as close as someone who has never experienced it certainly will get, because it's so expressive and with such almost painful attention to detail that you can't help but feel empathy for the experience. The reality is a damp weighted blanket. I mean, you can feel the pressure just from that sound, from that line. This is extremely strong and provocative, right?
Excellent comment there, Captain. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
Well, I'm sorry, but unfortunately, my internet went out, and because Aphasiana has that sweet little voice, the only thing I could tell you is that the music was really catchy. So I apologize for that.
That's all right. I will say this. Aphasiana, at least as long as I've known her, has been working on her production skills, at least in the background. And to listen to something that was done much more primitively when she first started out, this was just incredible. And I think it really added to the message that she was trying to convey in relation to the mania, and then also the depression, and the music mimicked that as well. So, I was really freaking impressed. So, with that, we'll move on to the next SoundCloud. So I've got Rex up next, and I'll just, I have posted it. That's good. And here we go.
I got an invite from that dipper glowing bright in that seven Majoris was burning. The ladle it gleams from her flowing streams, a galaxy of souls in their churning. We walk late in the night, these poets of insight, breathing solar winds we fly freely. When the radio waves call, come one and come all, from the bridge dear Ursa is steely. Come one and come all, when the radio does call, as we sound that bell twice nightly. After midnight's hearse is a comet tail burst, where a voice can walk that rope tightly. From those heavens above come those sounds of love, as long into the morn we are sharing. There are giggles and laughs and musical paths where the she-bear is seafaring. Come raise up a beer where our verses are clear, and that vixen begs you be falling. For that babbler sings along as M does belong to the LNP cosmos so sprawling. Gray dove lunar ray stream in coherent arrays as aphasia rocks a captain station. On Neutron's shores, a wise man's harmony explores, and tears fill my eyes with elation.
That was excellent. Oh, man. Firstly, he sang it, and I have huge respect for that. And it was basically a cappella. He had no backing track. So what a great homage to the hosts of LMP. Technically, great flow and meter. And I even got a mention. I'm pretty sure everyone that's on here got a mention. And it's not an easy feat to work all the handles into a cohesively written tale, so nicely penned. And, Captain, what were your thoughts?
This is an impressive piece of writing. He's woven so many people's names in here so subtly. And he did this all to the song, the tune from The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but it's definitely a good tune. And you're right, all a cappella, which is not certainly not easy. But this is quite imaginative. It's captured so many aspects and facets of LNP that I think this almost transcends our anniversary celebration and goes to the whole group.
Great comment, Captain. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. You know, this is actually the third part of this that he's written, and he always does such a wonderful job of sneaking everybody's names in there, paying tribute to Fill My Eyes and all of us, and the Late Night Poet team. You know, he's got really just such a pleasant singing voice and an ability to match the tune of a song and just, you know, I mean, he's really just a very clever and smart guy, and it's excellent write all the way through.
Great comment.
Well said, Pam.
Very astute.
And Captain, guess what?
I don't know.
We have
what?
Team Michelle's poem up. We've got Team Michelle poem, and if you would like to read it, it's all yours.
I would be delighted. Okay, let me open this pea picker up. Here we go. Rebirth, The Other Side of the Sun by Team Michelle. The court speaks of a gifted girl, and old tales sing of evil in onyx gown. She sits upon a sanctuary on the other side of the sun, smothered in white magnolia, where time neither wears nor tears, harvesting blue capes from twitching whispers ill at ease. She sojourned through the wind's wings, hanging gooseberries dripping out of fondant vases. Stones at the quarry may not budge, locks on the grave may not shake, but she'll steer the ship of pipe dreams towards the real line, a masterpiece cleaved from gold. End poem. And the author's note is it was a collaboration with Tara Solomons, and it looks like it's based on this poem. Underneath is it, all she ever wanted was to keep living on the side of a moment. And it goes on. But it looks like a really spot-on adaptation of the prompt.
Excellent, Captain. Excellent read. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
Well, I'm always impressed with Michelle's writing. She just has such wonderful imagery. I'll give you a heads up. I don't think my internet is coming back for a while, so I cannot help with reads. My comments will be based on what I hear, and hearing isn't my best. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm more of a, I have to read a poem to really get it. But what I really like is the sense of taking personal steps of personal strength and a journey. And I also like how this was a collaboration that flowed so smoothly. And, you know, so just an excellent write all the way through and very well done. Now, usually I try to be more of a private person, but because I can't message you in internet, I just need you to give me a few minutes, maybe not call on me for the next one because the dog needs to be let out and I need to sneak away to the ladies' room.
That's fine. That's fine.
All right.
I completely understand. Oh, gosh. And then, Captain, did I ask you for a comment yet?
I volunteered one a little bit at the beginning, but I liked the metaphor in this. It's so colorful and textured, and I also like T. Michelle's writing. She always does such a beautifully eloquent and textured work in her verse. I really enjoy reading what she writes.
Thank you, Captain. You know what my favorite part was? She yearned through the wind's wings with tangy gooseberries dripping out of fondant vases. Ethereal abstract imagery, and it was really a pleasure to read. And I think my favorite line was, though, the last line, a masterpiece cleaved from gold. I think T. Michelle really has a way with words. And I think the poem that she riffed off, I did give it a read, and I encourage our listeners to as well, was the Tara Solomon's poem. It was quite fitting, as you said, Captain. So I think she did a really, really great job. And with that, I'll move on to the next poem. So let me just bring it up. And just kudos to everyone for tonight for basically calling in and putting up with the gremlins, because I think everyone's been affected by the gremlins tonight. So I don't know, maybe it just got a little bit slap happy after we had so many callers. So the next one we've got is by Richard Weissman, and I'll bring up the SoundCloud now.
City by the bay streams up from nothing as death's howling sea ever rises. Our burnt-out old bones arch up, fingering fretted strings of white gold, with fears worthy of imaginary blue devils. Random overlay at Frisco Art Palaces in 3/4 time. We dance to silent songs of mind's inner ear, filled with hate at People's Park, lost in their summer of love, forever trapped by death's poppy fears, while old money rises east to Silicon Valley afterlife hum. End poem.
Thank you, Richard, for the SoundCloud. I love the phrasing in this poem, particularly our burnt out old bones arch up, fingering fretted strings of white gold. Now, I had to actually look up People's Park, and in true fashion, the public green space is now under threat to student accommodation, a far reach from the summer of love. And I think Richard has managed to capture the dichotomy that is San Francisco. I'd be interested to hear what you thought, Captain.
I really appreciated the parts that grasped you by the People's Park. I instantly recognized Filled with Hate, his reference to Haight-Ashbury, and where so many of the flower children and hippies would hang out. And it was actually quite... became quite notorious for their for being their favorite place and lost in their summer of love, forever trapped in death's poppy fears. Great reference to drug abuse. While the old money rises east to Silicon Valley's afterlife hum. And that I thought was very subtle, because with technology, when it's activated, what people don't realize is there is a 60 cycle hum always going, and you don't really catch it until you've got a power outage and you're standing in the middle of your house trying to figure out why it's so damn quiet. Because you don't notice a 60 cycle hum until the power's gone, and so is the 60 cycle hum. But this is a great brevity, capturing a city. This is a real a skilled piece of work.
Great comment, Captain. And next we've got a poem by My Angels 3, and I'll give this one a read. It's called Listen. You broke the one with the beautiful heart. My 12-year-old self wants to know why. Did someone do this to you as a child? Comes from somewhere. Listen. Can you hear my tears? You made the decision to hurt me. Did you even care? What you did was inappropriate. It was wrong. Listen. At night. The middle of night. Listen. My teardrops fall, landing on your window. The wind that creeps across your room, that slaps your cheek, that's me. Listen to me. I ignored it. I pushed forward. I was a kid, so what else was I supposed to do? Adults find a way to cover up to survive. No one ever listens anymore. I believe the best in people. I listened to your whispered words, but had no good knowledge of what they meant. As a child, I questioned, was it my fault? My 12-year-old self didn't have a voice. I am a strong individual today, take away from the deep pain caused. I will not let that experience define or limit me. My heart hurts for the girl I was back then. So naive and innocent and full of hope, I am reclaiming my life. Listen, I've grown tired of the silence. I need to confront you, and you will listen, because I need closure. It's like balloons you're always holding on so tightly to. But once you let them go, it's sweet release. And all the hurt and pain goes with it. But first, you have to let it go. End poem. And what were your thoughts there, Captain?
Wow. This is a really powerful piece of writing, and very courageous, too, because I think this is deeply personal. But I think also deeply relatable, because if you had occasion for the person or someone in your childhood existence, childhood years, the person that was supposed to nurture you, that in fact doesn't, they do damage. I don't that scarring never really leaves you. You become inured to it. You grow calluses over it, but it still remains. My 12-year-old self didn't have a voice. As a child, I questioned, was it my fault? And that is so true, because when you think of what happened to you as a child, as I was speaking to someone the other day, I said, think about it. This is a person who's only been on the world 5 times, 365 days. That's not a lot. And so their life experience doesn't equip them for what the kind of hurt or malicious things that an adult can commit on them. I need to confront you because you will listen, and you will listen because I need closure. And I understand completely how that feels. My mother was a matriarchal whack job that pulled some real nastiness on me when I was a kid. And you don't think to bring it up to someone else, because you don't even think that, you know, you don't think, is my parents supposed to be doing it? You don't question it. You don't question it. All you do is you feel the hurt and you move on. It says, all of it's once you let them go, it's sweet release, and all the hurt and pain goes with it. First, you have to let it go, and sometimes you just can't. This is such a deeply insightful and emotional piece. I think this is a tremendous write.
Excellent comment, Captain. Pam, I'm just wondering if I should call on you yet.
Yes.
If you answer
yes,
in the next.
Do that.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I tell you, that was just, it hit hard. It was a powerful write. It was emotive. It was clearly cathartic. Oftentimes, we cannot confront our abusers face to face. We don't. And then I feel like the listen, a repetitive listening idea of saying listen over and over again was cathartic for herself, was a way for her to, she clearly separated her 12-year-old self and her adult self and the, you know, the thought of the person she has become, a strong and confident, able to move on despite what happened to her. And, you know, it's just, it's very sad that people have to recover from abuse from childhood. You know, it just, and the fact that she's able to share such a personal write, and as I always say, not only does that help the person writing it, but I truly feel that when you're in a part of a poetic community and someone reads a poem about something that you went through, that they went through also, it gives them that sense of connection and maybe a step towards their own healing. So excellent write and very well done.
Well said. Well said. Great comment.
Thank you.
The last few lines, I think it was, it's like balloons you're always holding on so tightly to, but once you let them go, it's sweet release and all the hurt and pain goes with it. But first you have to let it go. This stanza reminds me of the Banksy artwork of the little girl reaching for the heart balloon. And sometimes when we let that balloon go, we have been so used to holding on to it that it instinctively feels unnatural to live without the hurt and pain. But there is hope for that little girl inside of little angel. Let me make sure I've got my angel, rather, 3. That in releasing that hurt and pain, there's room for other emotions, hopefully positive ones. And no one should suffer abuse, whether it be verbal, physical, sexual, or other. And I agree with you, Pam, in that this poem will definitely help other poets and listeners if they have gone through similar issues. Very raw and very honest. And I think that's very brave because you've effectively put a piece of yourself out there. So well done, my angel. And next we have a poem by Victoria Frost. And I'll just make sure there is not a sound cloud that I'm missing. No. Captain, would you be able to give this one a read, please?
I certainly can. Let me go to the right page here. I will do my best to channel all my Victoria Frost here. Judgment. I've begged, pleaded, tried to negotiate my way out of this place, to prove my case, present it with passion, to sway your judgment, pound your gavel and pronounce me worthy. Appealing to the heart, impeach this thought that I am innately flawed in your eyes. I should never have been. More than a misdemeanor, the motion has been set for a mistrial. No grand jury to hear my case, just me and you, my judge and jury. I've entered my plea, screamed my declaration of innocence. If not by empathy, then I pray perhaps logic. I did not choose to be here, to be the disappointed bird into a tribunal where faults are facts. My existence is not a tort upon your own. Hear my witness, play back the transcript of my deeds. Reasonable doubt is threaded therein. Do not make me feast upon this final meal to walk down death row. Stand before your headsman and declare my final words. I had more life to live. End poem.
Excellent read there, Captain. Pam, I'll let you go first because it's easier to remember listening to the poem and whatnot, if you're ready.
Oh, definitely. You know, my first thought with this poem, well, first of all, great read there, Bobby. I think you definitely got your inner Victoria going on. And my first thought was that how easily people point blame, you know, at other people and not at themselves. But, you know, and then I began to think that it almost had a feeling of a child defending their own life. Like maybe, I got the feeling of a parent who was disappointed that they had a child or their child turned out the way they did. You know, and that's kind of just the vibe I got from listening. But I think in general it works well as a right for speaking up to anyone whose expectations that you don't live up to, whether it's a parental figure, a friend, a lover, a spouse. You know, sometimes you just have to say, you know, I cannot live up to your expectations. I'm my own person. So just a powerful right all the way through and very well done.
I agree with you there, Pam. I think I'll quote the lines that were, I suppose, the most resonant. The motion has been set for a mistrial, no grand jury to hear my case, just me and you, my judge and jury. And the persecution is real in this poem. There is a sense of the oppressive with those lines, being denied a judge of your peers. And this next part was so powerful. I did not choose to be here, to be the disappointment birthed into a tribunal where faults are fact. And I kind of had a similar interpretation, Pam, like in that sometimes it's the case that people are so unhappy or unfulfilled by life that they project onto another human being, especially children, their wants and needs, disregarding the well-being of their child or teenager in place of their own. And I just thought it was a really visceral right and very honest. She's speaking her story, and I think that sometimes is more powerful when it's confessional poetry, so to speak. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
My goodness, this was, again, like you said, very, very powerful. I think very courageous because it's revealing. And I think we all, to a greater or lesser degree, have found ourselves at some point in our life trying to argue our worth or our merit or our innocence or our intent to someone else who has already condemned us outright. And it's kind of like, my mind is made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. And the sense of futility that I sense in this reading, I better to plea, screamed my declaration of innocence, if not by empathy, then I pray perhaps logic. And I had a partner that no matter what you did, logic, emotion, empathy, if you were damned and considered guilty, and did not live up to his expectations, woe be it unto you. And I think that's the biggest problem is, and she speaks to it, is play back the transcript of my deeds. Reasonable doubt is threaded therein. If people would not inflict their expectations on other people and simply accept them for what they can do and do, without this preconceived notion, there would be so much less of this hurt going around. But because they do inflict their own expectations, like you said, and very often reflect their own hurt or their own self-doubt on the other person, in which case there is no recovery from that. So this is such a layered and profound piece that it's really impressive.
Excellent comment, Captain. And I'm going to give June Johnson's poem a read when it comes up. There we go. And it's called If I Ever Had a Girl, I Would Have Named Her Isabella. I see the children next door jumping on their trampoline. Mother calls them in for lunch, cuts their sandwiches into little triangles. She's one of those soccer mum types. My mother never baked me cookies or went to my school plays. For Halloween, I was always a ghost with some dirty sheet with eyes cut out. Here I go, pointing the finger at my mother again. But I guess everyone does. It started with Freud, and I guess a lot did. Mine blamed her mother for abandoning her at age 3. She should have grown up in England, but that's a story for another time. But trust me, my mother had it much worse than I did, but I still complain. The neighbors next door have a nice blue house with lots of flowers. They have a girl and a boy. I never had children and depend on a few perennials from the last owner. I miss my old home where I planted phlox and black-eyed Susan's butterflies would land on my hand. Alice would bring me tomatoes from her garden, and at night I could hear her wind chimes. The air smelled like salt. Things were different back then. This house is beige, kind of like each day no one knows my name. Only the pharmacist at CVS recognizes my voice and even knows my birthday by heart. I hear two women walking and laughing outside my bedroom window. They do this every day around 7 a.m. I wonder what they are talking about and stay in bed for as long as I can. Nowadays, I barely leave the house and have my groceries delivered. I've become bitter and resentful, just like my mother, something I said I would never do. I am not good at letting go. My shrinks say I am my own worst enemy. How cliched. I can see the neighbor's lights on and pretend I am a mother about to tuck my children into bed. They would sit by my side in matching pajamas as I read them goodnight moon. Instead, I pop a few sleeping pills and pass out on the couch. Dinner is microwavable. I bet the mother next door cooks a homemade pie, chicken pot pie, or a pot roast with potatoes. I think her name is Rebecca, or maybe it's Marie. I only met her once 7 years ago when she gave me a welcome basket. I should have thanked her. End poem. And Pam, what were your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. You know, June just always has the most wonderfully relatable lights. You know, like I relate to this in the fact that my mom and my maternal grandmother, both were not very traditional in being the motherly types, and yet even with that, you still like it's the mother grandmother relationships are or observations are some of the closest that the ones that affect you the most, both the positive and the negative. And I like how she takes this from the point of view of a woman who just watches her neighbors and observes their life and compares it to her own, and I think that's a lot of what this touches on, is how so often many of us compare our life, our choices, the directions our life took compared to everybody else's. So just a powerful write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Captain, what were your thoughts?
a lot of loneliness. It's a very melancholy piece, very rife with despair. It's almost like this person has already given up, and she entertains herself by speculating about the family next door. I bet she cuts their sandwiches into little triangles. and my mother never baked cookies. For Halloween, I was always a ghost. And just reflecting on her own childhood, it seems to have carried through into the adulthood, where she's anchored in this morass of despair. And I barely leave the house now. I have my groceries delivered. She hears two women outside the bedroom window talking, and every day, and doesn't bother to go out and greet them. And she's cloistered herself in a house where she's alone. And it's a very sad piece. And here she had at the last a chance at redemption when she moved in. The neighbor took her a welcome basket. I should have thanked her. And again, there's that disconnect with people. And I can understand this, because that's kind of how my mom was, just pushed people away from her. And then wondered why she was lonely. And I get the same sense from the protagonist in the poem. They push people away and yet wonder why they're lonely.
Yeah, for me, this really hit home, a little too close to home. It reads like a stream of consciousness that truly I could append. And I think this pandemic has turned me into a bit of a hermit. But if I'm honest, probably no more so than before the pandemic. And I think the isolation is palpable in this write, but also in real life. And this stanza got to me the most. Only the pharmacist at CVS recognizes my voice and even knows my birthday by heart. And I think it's an honest and brave poem. And I just have to thank June from the bottom of my heart for this piece for the anniversary show. I just thought it was brilliant. And
it is.
With that, it's all right. I'm getting the next poem up if you want to say something else.
No, I was agreeing with you. It is brilliant.
Okay.
Right. I'm in violent agreement with you. How's that?
That's awesome. So I've got Luyu's Wild Doves poem up, and Captain, if you could give that a read, that would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, and here it is. And I'm going to probably stumble over this. Adage Yudi. We were labeled beasts, red savages. Still, we gather at riverbanks, ocean moonlight sands, tree limbs drum, leaves whisper remembrances. Here on these lands, we commemorate our mourning, genocide, theft of lands, beauty of culture, obstacles continually challenge, worn moccasin paths, briny teardrops filling ebony eyes as ancient dark sapphire seas. Lost within songs of eagles, jeweled birds, their breasted arias breathe, worn hands collect seashells. A flower appears, gifted by the forested, shadowed stag spirit, opening portals of innocent times. His gaze speaks, his antique burnished antlers. Golden sunlight dances through emerald pines. Moments recollecting moments. Childlike laughter bubbles up, running towards scented cool wind, legs, arms becoming muscular deer as they transform, staring into his topaz, citrine flecks. Life's heaviness, its sweet struggle, ends. 'Neath columns of father's trees we lay in grassy bedding, communal healing, merging pathways where there is peace, where there is adagio di. End poem.
Great read, Captain. And Pamela, did you want to go first?
Sure, absolutely. Oh my goodness, I tell you, that is just beautiful. You know, I always appreciate when Rue writes, I'm guessing from the Native American perspective, it really much reminds me of the Trail of Tears. My grandfather, who grew up on a reservation because he was like one quarter Sioux in South Dakota, had artwork done by a Native American artist that hanging in our house was of the Trail of Tears. And one of them was of an Indian brave knelt down by his horse. And the other one, they had like the women and children. And I mean, it was just, there's that the same kind of reverence that I think back to of my grandfather, the artwork that he kept and collected that meant so much to him, I find in this rite. This is a sadness, this reverence, this for a almost a mourning for a proud people, like lost, but still moving forward because, you know, they have that connection. There's a certain kind of connection within this rite, within the land, the forest, and the people. And it's got a sad but yet a spiritual and hopeful feel to it in some ways. So, you know, excellent rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. And, Captain, what were your thoughts?
It's so mournful. Every time I read or see a recounting of how the advancing, quote, civilization of the white man just basically ran roughshod over an established culture simply because they were different in the way they lived and thought of nature, in the fact that they were not industrialized, but actually lived in one with the in harmony with the earth, and basically just dismissed them and did their very best to eradicate them. I'm profoundly sad. And profoundly just moved by it. And you think to yourself, you know, wish I could do something about it besides feel ashamed. And even though we had no direct connection to it, it's still, I find it, when I read this, which is, it is a very profoundly moving piece because it talks of heritage. Anytime you find a person or a people, whether because of culture or because of gender or whatever differentiation, just suppressed and cast down this way, it is just so sad to see that happen. And it just this is a very sad piece for me.
Thank you, Captain. That was a great comment. I agree with you wholeheartedly, really. I think it was a very deep pain to this rite if you delve below the rich tapestry of imagery contained within. An homage to the fallen, the Holocaust, and it was reverential in nature, almost melancholic in its beauty. The part I was drawn to the most was obstacles continually challenge worn moccasin paths, briny teardrops filling ebony eyes as ancient dark sapphire seas lost within songs of eagles, jeweled birds, their breasted arias breathe, worn hands collect seashells. It was very nicely penned.
it's hard to do it justice with commentary because it's such a personal right, I think, as well, looking at Lee's heritage as well.
And in my,
I still agree with you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, you're right.
In microcosm, when I look at it, it's a reflection in microcosm of a worldwide unfortunate evolution where many Aboriginal peoples, New Zealand, Australia, the islands, like the Hawaiian Islands, Polynesians, all discounted, suppressed, almost eradicated by civilized humans. It's so sad that we had such disregard for people simply because they were different.
Exactly. I couldn't have put it better myself. And I think we have time for one more. I'm going to put Sally's poems in the room and then hit play on the recording, so it won't be a moment.
I love poems. I am, je suis. I am the sigh of the sea. I am, I am, I am. The sound of crashing waves. The witch's form of agitating scum, the rush of blowing wind. I am the laughter of the field. I am, I am, I am. The singing birds of a hill, the diffusing scent of a flower, the fluttering wings of a butterfly. I am the tears of the heaven. I am, I am, I am. The flame of crying eyes, the pain of suffering face, the petals of bleeding heart. Je suis le soupir de la mer. Je suis, je suis, je suis. Le bruit des vagues qui s'entrechoquent, la mousse blanchâtre de l'écume qui s'agite, la ruée du vent qui souffle. Je suis le rire du chant, je suis, je suis, je suis. Le chant d'oiseaux qui enchante, le parfum de fleurs qui se diffuse, l'aile de papillon qui flotte. Je suis les larmes des cieux, je suis, je suis, je suis. Les flammes des yeux qui soufflent, douleur. Du visage qui souffre, les pétales de cœur qui saignent. End the poem.
Thank you, Sawa, for the SoundCloud. And Pam, would you like to comment first?
Oh, actually, this is beautiful. It's good to hear Sawa. I hope sometimes she can get back to calling in person. And I like the repetitiveness of I am and all the different, like how it went from being I am, like connected to the birds, the earth, you know, and then there, it came, took on a really melancholy and sad tone. There was this real sense of just the very spiritual right, very connected with all that everything and everyone feels. You know, so just an excellent write all the way through. And of course, as always, it's wonderful to hear her in the different languages. So very well done.
Yeah, I was having a read of her author note, and she actually wrote it in French initially and then translated it to English. So it's slightly different in French, but it's still such a beautiful poem. Melancholic, punctured by the repetition of I am, I am, I am. And the language and imagery is strong and impactful. Maybe it's because I'm drawn to the cathartic, but I'd say my favorite part was I am the tears of the heaven. I am, I am, I am. The flames of crying eyes, the pain of suffering face, the petals of bleeding heart. Amazing, right?
And Captain, what were your thoughts?
I like what she has done in this verse with the prompt were the three lines from Cahil Gibran. I am the sigh of the sea, the laughter of the field, the tears of heaven. And she's led each one of her stanzas with one of these three lines and reinforced her existence with her observations, the singing birds of a hill, the pain of a suffering face. This is such a beautiful and ethereal piece. I like her thinking on this. I like the way she just, the structure of it and the way she interpreted the prompt. It's just really, really a fine piece of writing.
It is indeed. And look, we've got about 3 minutes left, so I'm not going to try and fit another poem in. We actually have probably about 7 poems from this show and probably another 7 from the previous shows. So I think what we will do next week is have a catch-up because it would be a crying shame not to showcase all the poems from this contest and
from the earlier ones.
And Captain...
Yeah. This contest filled up in less than a day. Your devoted fans rallied. which is testimony to how well thought of you are. So, Neutron, it's an honor to serve with you weekly, to share thoughts with you through the texts and your inspiration to me on your ideas for different contests and what have you, and your interpretations of poems. You do a fine job. And I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of it.
Oh, Captain, thank you. I wasn't expecting that. That's lovely. And I just would like to thank everyone who's been part of the shows for the last year. And I'm bearing their soul as part of the process. And we're lucky to have a small set of regulars that are now writing for the show, and then we also are quite lucky to get emerging artists as well, emerging artists and poets, and the seasoned professionals as well, which is basically the cornerstone of LMP's manual.
I think they're liking the format of the contest, which gets them up running and inspired. So,
yeah. And Pam, do you have any contests you need to plug in the last 90 seconds?
Oh, you know me, girlfriend. I always have contests. but in particular, tomorrow I do the Art of Seduction. That contest is closed, but people can still write for the topic, which is Lady in Red. Friday's show, Break On Through, I have a contest running. The Niagara Falls Ice Bridge disaster, and Rex has a contest running for the same show with song lines from the song Schism by Tool. And then for Rex's Rhythm and Rhyme show on Sunday, he is got songs for inspiration by Sly and the Family Stone. So, you know, slip on your 1970s funkadelic and, you know, write. And if you can, join us.
Awesome.
Marvelous.
That's great, Pam.
Marvelous. Thank you.
And thank you, Pam, for sticking it out to the end, even with all the gremlins. And I will see you all next week, hopefully, if not on the flip side.
You know what? It was a great show. You just have to imagine me in the room clapping and telling you it was a great show.
And awesome. A special thank you to everyone who stayed up past their bedtime to join us for even a few minutes and to read their work. So special thank you to all of those fine folks.
Thanks, Captain. All right. I'll see you next week.
Bye. Ciao.
Bye.
Ciao.